Turn with me to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 10. I'd like to deal with verses 1 to 9. While you're turning there, I was thinking as we were singing this song, how perfectly this song goes with the passage tonight. It's amazing. Face to face, Christ my Savior. Second verse says, only faintly now I see him with the darkening veil between. Third verse says, when the crooked ways are straightened, the dark things shall be made plain. You're going to understand what I mean when I read the passage of Scripture. 1 Kings chapter 10. And when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. She came to Jerusalem with a very great train with camels that bear spices and very much gold and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her questions. And Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom in the house that he had built, and the meat of his table, and the sitting of his servants, and the attendants of his ministers and their apparel, and his cupbearers, and his ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. And she said to the king, it was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believe not the words until I came. And mine eyes had seen it, and behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. Happy are thy men, happy are these thy servants, which stand continually before thee, and that hear thy wisdom. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighteth in thee, to set thee on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loveth Israel forever. Therefore made he thee king, to do judgment and justice. Let's pray. Our Father, tonight we are so thankful. We have this time to be able to come together, to consider the Scriptures, look into your Word. We're so thankful for your promise, where two or three are gathered in your name, that you're in the midst. We pray that tonight, would you bless this Word, bless it to the honor of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Bless it to our hearing. Bless our worship. Bless, we pray, our ears to hear, and our hearts to understand, to perceive, to rejoice in that which you've taught us, for Christ's sake. Amen. Tonight, I would like for us to consider a passage of Scripture that deals with a man named Solomon and a woman who, Scripture says, was the Queen of Sheba. Solomon was the son of King David and Bathsheba. 2 Samuel 12:24 says, and David comforted Bathsheba, his wife, went in unto her and lay with her, and she bare a son. He called his name Solomon. And the Lord loved him. Solomon was made king after David, anointed to be the king before David's death. And the Lord blessed this man with great wisdom, a gift of wisdom. The Lord asked him, he said, what would you have that I'll do for you? And the scripture says that Solomon asked the Lord for wisdom. You've set me up, I'm paraphrasing this, you've set me up over this, your people. I pray that you'd grant me some wisdom to be able to judge them, govern them. The Lord says, because you didn't ask for all the earthly things, he said, I'm going to give those things to you. I'm going to give you what you've asked for too, wisdom. In fact, the scripture says in 1 Kings 4:31 that Solomon was wiser than all men, all human men, all men born of woman, save, obviously, the Lord Jesus Christ, the only wise God. It says that Solomon spake 3,000 proverbs, 1,005 songs. He was a wise man. And the scripture says in that same passage that his fame was in all nations round about, especially concerning his wisdom. Now he's a wealthy man, wealthy, but a wise man. The Queen of Sheba heard, the scripture says, about his wisdom. I would like for us to consider tonight five things in this passage of Scripture, five marks, five things that reveal God's sovereign grace in the calling of His elect. These five things are without exception. They're found in every believer, without exception. Five marks of a believer. Five marks of God's salvation. Five marks how God saves a sinner. I don't know any other way to say it. Five things are going to happen. Happen right here. Queen of Sheba. Solomon is a picture of Christ. The Queen of Sheba, a picture of God's elect. The scripture says in that first verse that we read, it says, and when the Queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord. That's the first thing when she heard. She heard. Solomon's fame had been spread about and she heard about him. Providentially, God's people are going to hear. If God's purpose to save a sinner, God will cross that sinner's path with the gospel. They will hear. Someone says, well, what if someone's over here and they don't hear? If God's going to save them, they'll hear. She heard about his knowledge of the true God, the favor that he was in with God, what the Lord had permitted him to know and to do. And she heard, her interest was stirred. She had a desire. She heard about him. Romans 10:17 says that faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. How shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? How's a man going to do that? Now, I know the general consensus of the religious world is this. Doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere. We're all heading for the same place. We're just coming just maybe a little bit different direction. We're all going to God. You know, we're just maybe on a little different path, that's all. How are they going to call on him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe on him in whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? The Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the way. And that ended it right there. I am the way, the only way. No man comes to the Father but by me. Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? When God's pleased to save a people, a person, there's going to be a report. There's going to be a message. They're going to hear something. You remember the parable of the Lord concerning the sower. A sower went out to sow and he sowed some seed. The seed is the word, the gospel. Some of it fell by the wayside. Birds came and picked it up. It's gone. Some of it fell on stony ground. Sprang up quickly. But the sun came out, and because there was no root, it withered away. Some of it fell among thorns, meaning the cares of this world, and thorns choked it out. But some of it fell on good ground and produced fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. Good ground are they which, in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it. This is the explanation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And bring forth fruit with patience. He said, that's good ground. Good ground hearers. They hear it. They keep it. By grace. By God's power. By God's providence. Paul the Apostle says in Ephesians 1, 11 and 12, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted. After that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Faith cometh by hearing. She heard when she heard of the fame of Solomon. Hearing. The receiving of a message. This hearing is not from the revelation of the works of God in creation or in providence. It's not from the natural conscience. It's from the preaching of the gospel of Christ. That's what they hear. They hear. No one's ever been converted before they heard the gospel. Contrary to popular belief, popular false belief, men think, and this is just as common is dirt. Men think that they are converted under false religion, free willism, and somewhere along the line they add the gospel. They add the truth of Calvinism. You know what I'm talking about. They add that to it. They just added a little bit to what they already had. Not so. How are they going to call on one they've never heard? Till a man hears of Christ, can't believe on Him. Till you heard of a sovereign, saving God, how'd you call on Him? You didn't. If you heard. Secondly, in that same verse, it said, she came. She heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, and she came to prove Him with hard questions. I looked up that word, hard questions. It means enigmas. Enigmas. Perplexing, baffling matters. Tough questions. Hard, tough, serious questions. This woman was aware of her ignorance and of His wisdom. Had she not been, she'd have never gone to Him. If she figured she knew as much as He did, why make the trip? She heard of His fame. Obviously, there were some matters that bothered her. She wanted some answers. Let me ask you something. When you heard of your depravity, inability. That was something that I never heard of. I never heard. I was never told of my inability to reconcile myself back to God. All I'd ever heard was my ability. All I had to do was ABC. There's an easy road. Here's the Roman road. Do this, and do this, and God will do this. When you heard of the judgment and justice of Almighty God, when I truly heard that the wages of sin was death, that never meant anything to me. I'd read that. I'd heard of the wages of sin being death. I never saw myself truly in need of Him. Never. When I heard, soul that sinneth shall surely die. When I heard that, when you heard it, did your heart not rejoice when you also heard that God is just in dealing with sin? In the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, the substitute of all God's elect, that He justifies sinners by faith, imputation of the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. These are hard things, perplexing things to the natural man. The Queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon. She came to prove him with some hard questions. I want you to tell me the answers to some of these things. This is a serious matter. This thing's for real. I was speaking with Clay today. He's there in Arkansas with his granddad. Granddad's not doing well, James Watson. And he told me, he said, well, he's holding his own. He said, but this is what he said. He said, I'm anticipating, he said, being done with this and beholding Him face to face. He said, just to see Him in the brightness. I'm thinking to myself, that right there, that takes God's grace right there. That's dying grace right there. At that time, you want to have some answers to some hard questions. How can a man be just with God? This is serious. This man right now, as far as I know, but if the Lord keeps him, has very little time left. That's what they've said. But for the grace of God that would give a man or a woman a heart, I want to have some answers. I'm getting ready to leave this world. I'm getting ready to enter into a place that, as far as this human being, I've never been able to perceive. That God would give me some grace to cause me to leave this world. She heard of Him and she came to Him to prove Him. Prove Him with some hard questions. I've heard of you. I want to come. I want to hear you. Talk to you. What could you do but come to Him for life as He drew you effectually by His Spirit? Where but in Christ are these hard answers, these hard questions, where are they going to be answered concerning salvation? Are you going to trust your soul to your feeble ignorance of life, free will? A believer, the more they contemplate Him, the more they contemplate their need of Him, the more they realize it's in Him. These hard questions, that's where they're answered. Lord, I have to have You. As the Queen of Sheba could find satisfaction to her questions, those hard questions, nowhere else but at the mouth of Solomon, a sinner. I'm talking about a man, a woman made aware of his need, true spiritual need. He finds help in his time of need nowhere else but at the throne of grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "You weak, heavy laden, come to me." His sheep hear his voice, they come to him. He calls his own sheep out by name. He leads them out. He said, "All that the Father gives me, they shall come." She came. She heard, she came. Thirdly, when she was come to Solomon, verse 2, that last part, she came with this great train of camels and spices and gold and precious stones, and when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. There's the third point. God's going to save a sinner. They're going to hear. By his grace, they're going to come. And thirdly, they commune with him. She spoke to him. She called to him. She appealed to his wisdom. That's what it is. She communed with him. Called on him. Romans 10 verse 13 says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Now there's another scripture right there that men and women abuse. You know, it is true. Whosoever will. Whosoever. Whosoever. Anybody. Brother Fortner says, "I love whosoever." He said, that might even include me. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord. Now, there's the key to it right there. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord. His name is that which identifies him, distinguishes him from idols, especially the idol of a man's free will. His name reveals who he is and his redemptive character. Calling upon him, calling upon his name, is to call upon the true and living God, just God, Savior. See, men want to describe Almighty God as a God of love who will absolutely bypass his justice just because. Anybody, they say, anybody, just call on the Lord. He'll just forgive your sins and he'll just forget about them. They know nothing of his justice. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. He's a just God, a Savior, based on the merits of his blood and his righteousness. She communed with him, talked with him, called, appealed to him. That's what she appealed to him. "I've made this trip, brought all this stuff. I've heard about you. I came and I want to talk to you. I want to talk to you. I want to commune with you. I want to fellowship with you." We call upon his name by believing God's testimony. As he is revealed in Scripture, we call by faith from the heart. It's made to see him as the Savior of sinners. It's commune with him. God's people call on, and they call on him, and call on him, and call on him. You that know him, you call on him right now. By faith you do. You're coming to him right now. You're communing with him right now. You hear him. And you're thinking to yourself, "I know you are. I come to him. Him only." Lord, thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you that you'd give me a heart to be here. Thank you for your wisdom. Thank you that you've taught me something. Thank you that you've given me a heart to believe this. Thank you that you've not left me to myself. You just, you know. You go home, don't you talk to your wife? You commune with her. You fellowship, I mean, you know. It's not dead, nothing, blank. It's communion there. It's a fellowship. She communed with him. A believer. Pray in the heart. She heard him. She came. She communed. What was in her heart? Serious matters. Not a flippant thing. God's glory in salvation. That is a serious matter. Psalm 14:1 says the fool. That means the stupid, wicked. That's what it means. The stupid ones. The fool said in his heart, no God. Scripture says they're corrupt. They've done abominable works. There's none that doeth good. Proverbs 1:7 says the fear, the reverence of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Not her. She heard of him, she came to him, and she communed with him. She talked with him. She didn't despise it. God's people, called out by his grace, they long for communion with him. They commune with him the hearing of the gospel. They commune with him in the reading of scriptures. And I encourage you, search the scriptures. Look at them. Read them. Ask the Lord, Lord, speak to me through your word. Teach me. This is the heart of God's people seeking instruction. Communion at the feet of Christ. It's like Mary. Remember Mary, Martha's sister, sat at his feet and heard his word. Martha said, you know, Lord, I'm over here doing all the work. Could you tell her to come help me? And he said, Martha, Martha, you're cumbered. Mary's chosen the better thing. Sit at my feet, just listen. Hear my word. James 1:5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, it shall be given him. And the scripture says, and nothing was hid from the king which he told her not. Isn't that a marvelous thought? Ask. Come. Seek. It'll be given. It'll be shown you. Just ask. Ask. Commune. Fourthly, Scripture says, when the queen of Sheba had seen, verse 4, all of Solomon's wisdom. She heard, she came, she communed. In verse 4, when she had seen his wisdom, the house that he built, she saw the meat of his table, the sitting of his servants, the attendance of his ministers, their apparel, his cupbearers, his ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord. There was no more spirit in her. Here's the effect of having heard and having been taught by God himself. I see. I see. Here's this fourth point. God's people are taught of him. I see. I see. Those that are drawn to Christ come, and they don't come blindly and ignorantly. They come by faith. They see. They're taught of God. Job 42:5 says, I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye, the eye of faith, I see you. I see. I perceive. She'd heard some things the Queen of Sheba did of Solomon's fame, but having seen them for herself, Scripture says she was without spirit. She saw. That word there in the fourth verse, when it says she had seen, it means well weighed. She well weighed what she heard. Contemplated it. I see. I see. When she saw his ascent, says she was without spirit. She was in ecstasy of admiration. She said in verse 6 to the king, "It was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom." Verse 7, she says, "Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came, and mine eyes had seen it, and behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard." Until the Spirit of God effectually drew. Oh, you may have heard, and may have heard a true report. He said, "What I heard was true. Till I came, till a man or woman comes by faith, till they come by God's drawing, by a new heart, they don't believe. But when the Spirit of God drew me effectually, I saw. Now I see. Now I see." One can hear the general call all of his life. I don't know how many times I heard someone preach the gospel. There's no telling how many times I heard somebody. I heard it. I can remember back hearing someone speak of the glory of God in the gospel. I remember it. And I remember, just as sure as I'm standing here, it meant absolutely nothing to me. Oh, it was kind of a novel thing. It was different. I thought, but I had no heart for it. And one day, I don't know when, I know about when, but one day, when he drew me and by faith I came, then I could say, "I see. I see. I believe." And my conclusion, the half of it. Half of it wasn't told me. And then lastly, there's a confession of his greatness. God's people, they hear, they come, they come in, they see for themselves, they're taught of God, they see. And this is their confession of him. Look what she says in verse 8. "Happy are thy men. Happy are these thy servants, which stand continually before thee, that hear thy wisdom. Blessed be the Lord," verse 9, "thy God, which delighteth in thee, to set thee on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. Therefore made he thee king, to do judgment and justice." Solomon's servants served him gladly. He said, "Your servants are happy." The love of God constrains us. God's people don't long after him, long serve him out of fear of his judgment. They love him. They love him. He loves them. They love him because he first loved them. The love of God constrains us. Go back. Those of you that are married, why do you do for your husband or wife? Why? You love her. You love him. It's not a drudgery thing. You do it because you care for him. He said, "You're the men, the servants serve you. They're happy." He's compassionate. He's kind. His yoke is easy. His burden's light. Proverbs 8:34 says, "Blessed." That word "blessed" means happy. Listen to this. "Blessed is the man that heareth me watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. That's a happy man. Happy man. One that hears him and can hear him. And as the Queen of Sheba confessed Solomon's greatness, what does the believer confess concerning Christ? This is what she said about him. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighteth in thee. Blessed be the Lord thy God. That's what she said. We confess the Lord Jesus Christ as our mediator. Paul said this, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Christ is our mediator, the God-man. God was his Father. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, our mediator. That's what we confess of him. That's what we say. Secondly, he is the everlasting God. She said of Solomon, Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighteth in thee. Scripture says his wisdom, Christ was by him, one brought up with him, and daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. What do we confess of him? He is the everlasting God. He's God, our Savior, our Lord. Thirdly, we confess him as our King. She said, Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighteth in thee to set thee on the throne of Israel. God also hath highly exalted him and hath given him a name which is above every name. To whom do we look? Unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He is the King. That's what we confess. Fourthly, we confess him as the sovereign God who shows mercy and compassion to whomsoever he will. He is the God of all creation, of all providence, of all salvation. She said also concerning Solomon, it says, because the Lord loved Israel forever. The Lord says, I've loved my people. I've loved you with an everlasting love. And then we confess him as the righteous judge. She said of Solomon, therefore made he thee king to do judgment and justice. John 5:22 says, The Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. And what's the reason for that? Well, that in all things the Son should be honored, even as the Father is honored. In Colossians chapter 1, let me read this to you. Colossians 1:14-19, in whom, speaking of the Lord Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he's the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. It's the Father that's committed to him all judgment, that all honor be given to him. In Luke, speaking of confession, and with this I'm going to be closing, Luke 12:8. The Lord Jesus Christ says, also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me. This is what she did. She confessed. The Queen of Sheba confessed concerning Solomon. This is what I see. This is what I perceive. I've heard of you. I came. I communed with you. I see. And this is my conclusion. This is my confession. And those things we just looked at. The Lord said, also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. Now listen, there's no such thing as a secret, shady, behind-the-scenes believer. I've had men tell me, I've had preachers tell me, and I bet you have too. They'd say, I believe what you're preaching, but if I preach that, well, they'd run me off. Well, let me tell you this for a fact. That's true. I know that's true. But, secondly, if they believed it, if they truly believed it, they'd preach it, wouldn't they? They'd preach it. Yeah, they'd preach it. We must never be ashamed of Him. Never. To serve Him, love Him, or to care more for the praise of men than the praise of Christ. But what is this thing of confessing Christ? Whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. Well, I can tell you what it's not. It's not blowing your own trumpet or noisy boasting in yourself. You know, it's not sticking bumper stickers all over your car, and, you know, just all that foolishness. It's not that. J.C. Ryle says this, it is to not play the part of a spiritual, faithless deserter. That's what it is. Come what may, he said, by his grace alone, cast out our cowardly fears. If a man confesses me, I look the word confess up. It means covenant with, agree with, assent to. If a man agrees with me, he that agrees with me, he that is in covenant with me, he that confesses me, I'll confess him before the angels of heaven. Five marks of God's people, called out by God's grace, they hear and they come, they commune. They're taught of God. They see. They perceive. And they agree with Him. They confess Him. They're in covenant with Him. Five marks. Those five marks are always there. They're always there. Our Father, we thank You. Thank You by Your grace that You would give us another time to come. Would You bless, we pray, this word to our hearts, to the honor of Christ, and to our good, to our grounding, to our stabilizing. For it's in His name we pray. Amen.